We'd like to welcome Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Mulla Saab and Maulana, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana Muhammad and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Maulana, Jazakumullah, and today, inshallah, we continue to listen to the second edition of The Life of the Sea, brought to you by Radio Islam International. Maulana, Jazakallah, it's an honor sitting with you, listening to the live dars of the second edition of the Quran Kareem. Over to you, Maulana, sir.
Barakallahu fi.
Ameen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You know, I'm reminded of one of the quotations of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, whose name is synonymous to tafsir. He used to often say, إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمْ. That I would pass through a verse of the Quran, and then I would get engrossed and immersed in the depth and the sciences of that verse, and my heart would scream out and call out, wishing that mankind in its entirety could join me in understanding this verse as I have understood it. And one of the great scholars of the past was once asked, قِيلَ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّنَا نَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْ دَرْسِكْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ غَيْرِكْ. That there's something amazing about your lessons. We are more attracted to your dars than anybody else's dars. And what is the attraction? What is the magnetic force? What is the catalyst behind this? And he said, إِنِّي أَقْرَأُ عَشْرَةَ أَجْزَاءٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ بِقَصْدِ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ اللَّهُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِمَا أَتَحَدَّثُ بِهِ. That daily, before going for Fajr Salah, I would recite 10 juz of the Quran with the hope and the barakah of that Allah could put effect in my words and in my dars throughout the day. So may Allah connect us with His speech and His words. Of course, we would want to continue with what we recited today in Salah, but yesterday we got so occupied or preoccupied in certain verses. And there were two, three aspects of what was recited in the first juz, which I just cannot simply move on without discussing it. So I'm going to try and be brief and concise and share this with you. So we speak about, or rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about the tale and the incident when Allah informed the malaika regarding the creation of man and the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and the vicegerency of man on earth. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the malaika, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember, اُذْكُرُ is what the scholars say is mahzuf. Remember the time when Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي verily I جَاعِلٌ will appoint فِي الْأَرْضِ on this earth خَلِيفَةً, a deputy. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. The angels engaged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they asked Allah, O Allah, would you create a being, a person, a human, a mortal, a species, مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, who by his nature and temperament will cause corruption on this earth, will cause bloodshed. The scholars discuss the aspect, how did the malaika come to know about this? At this point, Allah had only informed them about the creation of man. There's different opinions given. The more easy explanation provided is that Allah had informed them about the nature of man, that this is the temperament of man. So the angels then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was not in any form of objection or opposition. This has been mentioned categorically by the Mufassirin, but rather respectfully submitting their request to Allah, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. That, O Allah, we perpetually glorify you. And we deduce the word perpetual from the fact that the word نُسَبِّحُ is مُضَارِع. And anybody who knows basic Arabic grammar will tell you that in مُضَارِع there is istimrar. And istimrar means something that is continuous. And hence the Quran also, wherever Allah uses those phrases, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that you advocate virtue, you prohibit vice. You could only qualify for this virtue if you do this regularly, constantly. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish prayer constantly. So this meaning of continuity, the perpetual meaning, is incorporated in the word itself. It's intrinsic to the word. And we know the angels, Kab Ahbar Rahmatullah Alayhi, had mentioned that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the malaika is like how we breathe in and out, how we inhale and exhale. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They glorify Allah night and day, they never tire. لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. Yet their absolute respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would never say something in advance and they will diligently comply. In the 22nd juz in Surah Saba, حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. That when Allah issues a decree, it creates a tremor in their heart. And after the decree is passed, they ask amongst themselves, what has Allah said? The narration of Tirmidhi, أطت السماء وحق لها أن تأط ما فيها موضع أربع أصابع إلا وملك واضع جبهته ساجدا لله. That the sky started squeaking, and rightfully so. There isn't the gap of four fingers, but that an angel is prostrating. يَتَفَطَّرْنَا. One meaning of this year in Surah Ash-Shura is also due to the prostration and the worship and the glorification of the Malaika. So in so many verses, Allah speaks about the nature of the Malaika, how they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. On the day of Qiyamah, 8 angels will hold the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Currently 4. So the malaika said, oh Allah, نحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. That we are worshipping you perpetually, and you would want to create someone else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a brief answer. Allah didn't give a detailed answer. إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. I know what you don't know. And this is a repeated message, respected listeners. In fact, today what we heard in the Quran as well, Allah says, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's highly possible you despise something, but it's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And it's highly possible that you become attached and fond of something, but it is evil for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you don't know. And Allah understands and you don't understand. And Allah knows the wisdom of everything and you don't know the wisdom. And really speaking, Hakim al-Ummah has written that the wisdom of the decisions of Allah is something that man will not able to comprehend in its entirety on the day of Qiyamah also. Leave alone in this world. So it's not upon us to try and probe and explore why, what. This is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah then educated, taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam the name of everything. And from this year the scholars deduce that Allah is وَاضِعُ اللُّغَى. Allah is the creator of language. So man translated the languages. But Allah is the one who initiated language. وَعَلَّمَ. Allah taught, it has a double maf'ul. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ. Allah taught Adam alayhi salam the names of everything. So Allah is وَاضِعُ اللَّغَةَ, as mentioned in Ma'riful Qur'an. Man then translated it in his own languages. So the origin of language is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first mu'allim, the first teacher in the history of mankind, of course, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first student and the first disciple is Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, Allah taught it to Adam alayhi salam. Either Allah had put it in his nature, intrinsic, and he just knew it, or Allah had imparted to him. Both options exist. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا. And your Lord inspired the bee to make a roof. أَنِ اتَّخِذِي on mountaintops and on rooftops, etc. So this inspiration was intrinsic. This is how Allah has made it. الَّذِي خَلَقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. My Lord, when Musa alayhi salam introduced Allah before Pharaoh, he said, my Lord is the one that gave creation, formation to everything, ثُمَّ هَدَى, and then guided it. In Surah A'la, Allah says, الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah proportioned and then guided. In fact, under this ayah, in Ma'riful Qur'an, in Surah Al-A'la, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi says, that the passion in man, the desire in man to advance and to innovate and to move forward, falls under the ambit of this ayah. That this is human, we want to go forward. And this falls within this description and the scope of this ayah. Qaddar, Allah proportion. Fahada, Allah guided. So we have this in our nature, we want to advance. Provided our technology, our growth, our advancement brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is key. So anyway, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He taught Adam alayhi salatu wa salam everything. He taught him all the names. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then those names were presented before the angels. Those names were presented before the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Mention the names of these things to me if you are truthful in what you said. That these are the different items and objects that have been presented. Tell me the meaning or tell me the name of each thing. أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So what was the response of the angels? قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. Glory be to you, O Allah. We have no knowledge but that which you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the being that has all the knowledge and you are the most wise. So the angels expressed and acknowledged and conceded their inability to the fact that they don't have the names or they are unaware of it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, Ya Adamu anbi'hum bi asma'ihim. Ya Adamu anbi'hum bi asma'ihim. O Adam, you now inform them of the names of everything. The scholars highlight 1,000 things here, but 2 basic things. When Allah told the angels, Allah said, Anbi'uni, inform me. When Allah told Adam, Allah said, Anbi'hum, inform them. So in doing so, Adam alayhi salam was elevated to the position of a tutor. Adam alayhi salam was honored and made a teacher and a guardian and a muallim to the malaika. And Adam alayhi salatu was salam then very swiftly answered the names of every object and item, and he said it to the malaika, and he knew it and he answered it very swiftly. Ya Adamu anbi'hum bi asma'ihim. Falamma anba'ahum bi asma'ihim. قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. Then Allah said, Did I not inform you that I am aware of the hidden things in the heavens and the earth, and I know very well that which you reveal and that which you conceal. So the scholars tell us that the superiority and the virtue of Adam was established over the malaika on the grounds of knowledge. And I think that's the message I want to say. تعلم فليس المرء يولد عالما وليس أخو علم كمن هو جاهل. Learn because nobody is born learned. And you can never equate the uneducated with the educated. And the famous couplets of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, الناس من جهة التمثيل أكفاء أبوهم آدم والأم حواء نفس كنفس وأرواح مشاكلة وأعظم خلقت فيهم وأعضاء فإن يكن لهم من أصلهم حسب يفاخرون به فالطين والماء ما الفضل إلا لأهل العلم إنهم على الهدى لمن استهدى أدلاء وقدر كل امرئ ما كان يحسنه والجاهلون لأهل العلم أعداء. That humans, from an anatomy perspective, are the same. Our ancestor is Adam, our mother is Hawa alayhi salam. The composition of our body is bones, flesh, limbs, organs, etc. فَإِن يَكُنْ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْلِهِمْ حَسَبٌ يُفَاخِرُونَ بِهِ. If you want to boast or rave about something of your origin, فَالطِّينُ وَالْمَاءُ, then you have a choice, either you boast on sand or you boast about the water. And really speaking, if you really study the ingredients through which man was created, the common thread in the Quran that describes it is ingredients of an inferior nature. Either Allah says hama, hama in the 14 juz in Surah Al-Hijr, which means muddy. So water and sand mixed together, it gets muddy. Masnoon, it gives off a stench. Or then Allah says, Salsalin kalfakhar, sounding like the potter's clay. Or then Allah says, Ma'im mahin, disgraced impure water. Or then Allah says, Min nutfatin amshaj, the mixture of fluids. Or then Allah says, Sulalatin min teen, the extract of clay. Or then Allah says, Alaq, congealed blood. Or then Allah says, Min ma'in dafiq, spurting liquid. So these are different expressions expressions that the Quran uses to describe that from which man was created. And this again is the absolute beauty and the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that from such inferior ingredients, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, He created man in the best of forms. I often say this in my humble talks, is there a single chef in the world who can give you a good meal with inferior ingredients? Is there someone who can give you a tasty meal without the basic amenities? Is there someone who can give you a beautiful drive in a simple car? That means the car, the means is not there to deliver or to achieve, and yet they could give you. Man's ingredients from which man was created is of such an inferior nature, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed. So what's the message, listeners? Acquire knowledge. Uwaiqis Makhzumi said that I lacked physical beauty. And I said to my mom that, you know, Allah has created me like this, and I don't have wealth, I don't have beauty, I don't have attraction. So my mom said, عَلَيْكَ بِالدِّينِ, acquire knowledge. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهِ الْخَسِيسَ وَيُتِمُّ بِهِ النَّقِيسَ, that Allah will perfect the defected and elevate the disgraced person. فَنَفَعْنِي اللَّهُ بِكَلَامِهَا, my mom's words struck a chord with me, and then I committed myself to the acquisition of knowledge. فَوُلِّيتُ الْقَضَى, and shortly thereafter I became the judge of Makkah Mukarramah. So may Allah make us amongst those people that we acquire knowledge. Thereafter, a great chunk of the first juz speaks about the favors that was endowed upon the Israelites. And Allah addressed, now this is something key here, Allah addressed the people of the book during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا. So the scholars raised the question, Allah is addressing people who were not the direct recipients of these favors. Yet Allah said, we did this for you, we favored you. By way of example, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ, when we granted you salvation. This message is been communicated to the Ahle Kitab in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this boon was conferred on their ancestors. So how is it that they were being addressed? And the answer is given very clear, that a favor given to the ancestor is a favor given to the grandchild as well, to the descendant as well. So it is a favor and a boon of Allah on that entire progeny. And Allah reminded them of many, many favors that Allah had blessed them. And Allah also highlighted how they challenged the Nabi of the time and different aspects, you know, in the first juz that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. When they were in Wadi Yatih, Taha Yatihu in Arabic means to, you know, to roam around aimlessly, and that is why it's known as Wadi Yatih. فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, it was limited and restricted for them for 40 years, and they were given divine food and divine provisions. And they would not be satisfied on divine provisions. And what did they say? لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ, we will not persevere on one type of food. And Allama Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi writes so amazingly, أَطَعَامَ الْفَلَّاحِينَ بَدْلَ طَعَامَ الْمُلُوكِ يَا لَفَسَادَ الذَّوْقِ يَا لَسُوءِ الْإِخْتِيَارِ, would you want to substitute the food of kings for the food of farmers? You've lost your taste buds. You lost your inclination. That which is divine and wholesome without human intervention, how can you challenge or combat or contrast that with something that grows from the earth? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the outcome of their disobedience, etc., etc. And then of course there's an incident that is mentioned here about a murder that had happened in Bani Israel, and how Allah subhanahu, then they made dua to ask Musa alayhi salam to intervene, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then made dua to Allah, and that is why the chapter is known as Baqarah, which we call Tasmiyatul Kul bi Ismil Juz. That is naming the entire chapter because of one anecdote or one incident. But then Allah makes mention, and that's what I wanted to touch on briefly and try and move on to today's recitation. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً, that you hear such a tale, you are aware of such an incident, yet despite that your heart has become hard. ثُمَّ then قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, your hearts have become hard. And really speaking, my respected listeners, today we are so particular about charging our phone that when we travel, we have the relevant adapters, and we have our power banks as well.
right? At no point should we be out of contact. At no point should our batteries be dead. But how often do we think about the heart that has died? How often do we worry about how our heart has died? And Hafiz Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah has written, a believer never fears the death of his soul, because that is decreed and ordained and he cannot alter that. But he constantly fears the death of his heart. Has my heart died? And what is the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? مَنْ أَحْيَى لَيْلَتَيْ الْعِيدَيْنِ لَمْ تَمُتْ قَلْبُهُ يَوْمَ تَمُوتُ الْقُلُوبِ. If you can revive the nights preceding the two Eids, among the other practices, then your hearts would not wither when the hearts of others would wither. And Allah says, then your hearts had died. Qasat had become hardened. أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى قَصْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. A person came and complained about his heart had become hard. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my heart has become hard. And the heart, really speaking, is a key organ, both from a physical perspective and a spiritual. So the mystics and the spiritual scholars also focus on the heart. And likewise, the doctors would tell you that, you know what, if your heart is at optimum, then your health is relatively stable. Of course, the other organs need to be also functioning at a good level. But just reflect over this verse and we try and move on. ثُمَّ ذَنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts became hard. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After this, you hear about this entire tale. And we can ask ourselves, so much is happening around us. Are my heart softening up? Can I tear? Am I enjoying tearing in my salah, in my du'as, in my supplication? Because if you study the Quran, you would find that this is a common feature of the pious. There are verses, and I, you know, some of them are verses of sajda, where Allah speaks about the pious that when they prostrate, they tear, when they recite, they tear, etc. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. It has become hard like the stone, nay, harder than the rock. Allahu Akbar. I always say, man, when we praise, we exaggerate. When we condemn, we exaggerate. When Allah praises, it's accurate. When Allah ridicules, it's accurate. So when Allah highlights a weakness, that's absolutely the absolute truth. And when Allah praises, like Allah praises the Anbiya in the Quran, وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. If you know Arabic grammar, you have ni'ma and habbada, you have bi'sa and sa'a. So these two nouns indicate praise, and these two indicate, you know, condemning or ridiculing someone. And ni'ma means amazing, he's great, he's brilliant, he's awesome, he's phenomenal. And imagine, those are the expressions Allah uses for his servants. And honestly, leave the world complimenting you. If Allah says ni'ma to a servant, it's done. It's accomplished. Allah says, "Inna wajadnahu sabira." I found Ayyub to be very patient. I found Ayyub to be ni'ma al-abd. He's an amazing servant. Innahu awwab. He turns to me all the time. In fact, Qurtubi has written more than 15 meanings of awwab. Inna Ibrahim la halimun awwahum munib. Awwah, awwah, one who cries excessively. And there's so many different writes up on this meaning. So when Allah praises someone, it's absolutely accurate. And what does Allah say? Their hearts have become harder than a rock. Harder than a rock. Then Allah says there's three levels of rocks. Right? We drive, we say beware of falling rocks. But did we ever look with a deeper eye? And that is why I was saying, recently I was in Vancouver and I was giving a talk, and I said, imagine if in every development of our life we could apply the relevant verses. Can you imagine how rich our life will be? So you drive in with your kids and you see a sign, beware of falling rocks, and you fit the verse of the Quran on that scenario, and this is what Allah says, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And there are those rocks from which rivers gush forth. Right? وَإِنَّ verily مِنْ تَبْعِيذِ. They are from those boulders and rocks. لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. From which rivers will flow. So you see it, water coming down. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقْ. Some would split. فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. Water will trickle down. Not in the quantity and the volume of the first one, but nonetheless, water will trickle down. There's benefit coming out of that rock. That water is coming down. It's nourishing the earth. Some creature at the bottom is sipping that water, is benefiting. And some are those that the river will not flow, water will not trickle, but that stone or that boulder or that rock will roll down out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And while on that, I have another flash, you know, and this is Quran, and this is what I keep on saying in my humble talks. I wish I can put people on a guilt mission. Guilt in the sense that our life is running away and we haven't understood the message of the Quran. تَمُرُّ سَاعَاتُ أَيَّامِي بِلَا نَدَمٍ وَلَا خَوْفٍ وَلَا بُكَاءٍ وَلَا حَزَنِي أَنَا الَّذِي يُغْلِقُ الْأَبْوَابَ مُجْتَهِدًا عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي وَعَيْنُ اللَّهِ تَنْظُرُنِي يَا زَلَّةً كُتِبَتْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ ذَهَبَتْ يَا حَسْرَةً بَقِيَتْ فِي الْقَلْبِ تُحْرِقُنِي دَعْنِي أَنُوحُ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَأَنْدُبُهَا وَأَقْطَعُ الدَّهْرَ بِالتَّفْكِيرِ وَالْحَزَنِي. That I have so many regrets. Unfortunately, trying to understand the Quran does not even feature in our remote wish list. You know, people have this wish list, and then they have a close wish list, and a late wish list, and then a retirement wish list, and a latter part. It doesn't even feature in the latter part of my life. There's a good brother of mine and a friend who invites me to a country, a neighboring state, and I salute him. Allah has blessed him with wealth, and he's got a good empire. He has, you know what, employed the skills of ulama, and he takes care of them, obviously, by reimbursing them. And every day, his age is in the late 70s, every day he sits, and one day he learns hadith, one day he learns tafsir, one day he learns fiqh, one day he learns aqaid, like a thorough, you know, what a person would be doing in an established institution or a seminary, and he would be learning. And he says, Allah has given me the wealth, I have the ease, I have the funds, and I couldn't do it in my prime. Why should I deprive myself at this time? So now let's just point out here, Allah is saying some rocks are falling out of the fear of Allah. So I'm reminded of an amazing quotation and a verse of the Quran. It's the 15th juz of the Quran, and this is where we tie it up. And I used to always impress on the students that tie the verses of the Quran where Allah speaks of one thing in another verse, you know, merge it to appreciate the wholesome nature. So Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. A verse of the 15th juz. There isn't anything but that it hymns the glory of Allah, but you don't comprehend it. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَ. Every creature intrinsically knows how to praise and glorify Allah. Jalaluddin Suyuti writes under this ayah that the Sahaba used to say, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kunna nasma' tasbih at-ta'am. That while sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would literally hear the food glorify Allah. Jalaluddin Suyuti writes that the food glorifying Allah is not the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this verse of the Quran tells us everything glorifies Allah. But the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his blessed presence, the glorification of the food becomes audible. So now it could be heard by the wil uqul. It could be heard by the average human. So that is the miracle of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in his blessed presence and in his blessed company and proximity, the food that praises and glorifies Allah at all times, like everything else, wa im min shay'in. And in Arabic, you know, shay is nakiraya. There is no alamat of ma'rifa. So it's everything glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying some rocks are falling out of the fear of Allah. But oh man, where are you in this whole thing that your heart has withered to a point that there is nothing coming out of you? There's no tear trickling down out of your eye. May Allah protect us. And then just another verse, you know, another deduction that the scholars of tafsir make. So one is the verse, then we look at the sequence of the verse, then we look at the ikhtilaf of the qira'at. So that's another way, right? You look at the variation of the different qira'at and the deductions that happen through that. Then you look at the shan and nuzul, the cause of revelation. And yet there is another thing as well which the scholars deduce, you know, references, or they extract points from, is when they look at an injunction, with which injunction Allah has spared it. So this is again another, this is the beauty of Quran. It just doesn't end. It just doesn't end. لَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ. لَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ. Its miracles never cease. فِيهِ عِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخَرِينَ وَلَكِنْ تَقَاصَرَتْ عَنْهُ أَفْهَامُ النَّاسِ. It has the knowledge of the past and the future. I read an article of a doctor in Thailand who took the shahada because of one verse of the Quran where Allah says, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. That Allah creates you, fashions you, al-musawwir, the designer, the one who fashions you, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Allah creates you in three layers of darkness. That's the abdomen, that's the womb, and that's the membrane. 14 centuries ago, how could any human understand that there's three layers of darkness happening there? And he was blown away. I read an article of a doctor who was a dermatologist, and he, recent surveys and history or findings or research discover that there's pain receptors in the skin, right? So Allah says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ فَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Every time the skin will burn, we will replace it. We will substitute it. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So the intensity and the gravity of the azab continues. And this ayah releases the hint of the fact that this pain receptor is there. And they will feel the pain. So that's what Ibn Mas'ud said. The Quran has the knowledge from before. Human intellect is evolving gradually to grasp its depth. You only understood it now, and I only understood it now, but the Quran had it there all the time. And Allah alone knows, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ. Allah created you, ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. And then Allah will give you death. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى. Some are given death early. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. And some are returned. The word يُرَدُّ means return. Return suggests the fact that you were there before. You cannot say return if you weren't there before. يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. You return to the worthless age. Meaning you return to a point of weakness, a point of feebleness. And that's where we all started off. And why does this happen? In medical science, they talk of gerontology. What is gerontology? Where the body starts aging. The body starts aging. The faculties start weakening up. So they talk of gerontology. What does Allah speak here? يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. Allah returns you to a worthless age. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. So that you know nothing after knowing everything. We talk of dementia. May Allah preserve our faculties. Those that are going through it, may Allah grant them shifa and afiyah. May Allah grant ease. May Allah grant cure. May Allah grant it. It's not an easy condition to be dealing with. I'm just saying that how the Quran has highlighted everything. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. أي لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ شَيْئًا بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ شَيْئًا بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ. So that he knows nothing after knowing everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah has the knowledge, so he knows what he's doing. He's Qadir, he can execute what he wants to do. So anyway, I was saying that the context, this is another way that the scholars deduce. So, to put it into perspective, what is Allah saying? The scholars tell us that Allah is speaking in this verse, and this is the general message of the Quran. Allah speaks of monotheism, the doctrine of one Allah. That is the most significant, that's the essence of our faith. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. That there is no God but Allah. So in the Quran, wherever Allah speaks about His Tawheed, His oneness and monotheism, you would realize that in all such instances or averagely, Allah couples the injunction of Tawheed with kindness to parents. So now we learn, so what I'm trying to tell you here is the scholars tell us we appreciate the importance of an injunction in the context where it appears. By way of example, in the 17th juz in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah is saying, فَاجْتَنِبُ الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. Ijtinab, abstain from the impurity of idols. وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. And abstain from uttering a lie. The scholars say the utterance of a lie is so despicable, so repugnant, so disliked by Allah, that Allah has spared its mention with abstinence from idolatry. I hope our ulama in the studios are appreciating what I am saying. Can I get a signal here? Jazakallah khair. This is the Quran. This is the Quran. I keep on saying we haven't, and I know nothing. This is the word of Allah. Wallah, I don't know how much, Allah is my witness, how much I cry. And I cry only in gratitude to Allah that He has blessed us with a book like this here. And I don't know, I just so many times read through it and I start tearing. And then I say, how can this not be the speech of Allah? How can this not be? So, to the youth out there, this is my pain and my cry. I'm saying value your parents. Study the Quran. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And then Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And you know, there's something mentioned here, it's so amazing. I hope I'm not too intricate and not too philosophical, but I try in my humble dars of tafsir to give a perspective that is intriguing both for the layman and the scholars. So the ulama tell us here, and this is mentioned in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, that when Luqman alayhi salam told his son, he said, oh my beloved son, right? Tasghir, a diminutive, oh my loving son, my beloved son, ya bunayya, la tushrik billah, don't ascribe partners with Allah. Inna shirk, verily polytheism is open exploitation, is an open crime. Then Allah switches the discussion from the advice of Luqman to his son, and Allah continues with Allah's advice to mankind. So first Luqman is telling his son, Ya Bunayya, La Tushrik Billah. And what more do you need to know about the lofty rank of this nasihat when Allah has recognized it, and Allah has devoted a chapter to Luqman, and Allah has selected that advisors. But then the sequence, the scholars say, Allah switches. So Luqman is engaging his son alayhi salam, and then Allah says, wa wasayna, wasiyat means nasihat bittaqid, as we would say, right? Advise with emphasis. Wa wasayna al-insana biwalidayhi. And we've impressed upon man to be good to his parents. And then Allah highlights the mom, and this is again the pattern of the Quran. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ. His mom carried him weakness upon weakness, feebleness upon feebleness, one stage to another, draining her entire body. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes that when the father took it upon himself to impress on the child his rights to Allah, Allah took it upon himself to impress on the child the rights of the father. This is Quran. So the father didn't tell the son, listen to me, obey me. The father said, listen to Allah. So Allah told the son, listen to your father. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So that's the message here. Now look, we haven't even... What do I do, Sheikh Muhammad Kara, my brother, wallahi, I don't know. I just cry, and I'll keep on crying. The Ummah has done such an injustice. I keep on saying, you're trying to break your head to understand the politics. You'll die, you'll never understand it. You're breaking your head to understand the fluctuation of the currency. You're not going to get it right. Break a sweat in trying to understand Quran. It's not simple. It's complex. It's challenging. There's Arabic grammar. There's so much to it. But it's meaningful. It's wholesome. Whole night you sweat, and in the end you understood a chapter of the Quran. Subhanallah. That is وَتَمَا يُلِي طَرَبًا لِحَلِّ عَوِيصَةٍ فِي الدَّرْسِ أَشْهَى مِن مُدَامَةِ سَاقِي. What did Muhammad ibn Idris say? When I finally resolve a complex issue of jurisprudence, then I sway with excitement more than the man who could have the best of alcohols. Even he doesn't have that form of swaying in his jubilation. Because now I've resolved, and so you break in your head, you split in your hair, you try and you check in this tafsir and referring Kashaf or Jalalain or Lughatul Quran or Madarik or Ibn Kathir, or you see something else and subhanallah, and then you see how Allah opens on each mufassir a different wisdom to that same ayah, and you say, this is the speech of Allah, and each one falls under the words of that Quran, that verse. It's irrefutable, but Allah opens it to different mufassirin in different ways. So I was mentioning, there's one thing here that I wanted to touch on. In the first juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the aspect of sihr, and you know, witchcraft is something that has plagued our community, and people unfortunately take it to a level beyond what it actually is. So I just want to touch on it very briefly. So during the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and this is the example and the tale and the story of the Quran, people were confusing the miracles of a Nabi with witchcraft. Now, we have three things we refer to as mu'ajizat, we have karamat, and then we have istidraj. So mu'ajizat, the very word itself tells you, it's self-explanatory. A'jaza yu'ajizu i'jaz, mu'ajiz, that which renders others helpless. That which renders others helpless. You're just helpless before it. That is why it's a mu'ajizah. In Surah Qamar, where Allah speaks about the splitting of the moon, right? So, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, writes that the disbelievers and the infidels objected on the miraculous nature of the splitting of the moon. But then he writes that that exactly is a miracle which is beyond your understanding. You say, no, it's impossible. He said, but that's a miracle, which is not usual. You say, no, this doesn't happen. Well, that's why you call it a miracle. You know, you come here and you say, but why didn't... Well, that's why they call it an accident. That's why it's an accident. But you should be on your... Exactly, if we did what we should have done, it wouldn't have been an accident. It's called an accident because precisely one person unfortunately skipped the red light or probably went over the speed limit. So you say, no, it's not humanly possible and this is... Well, precisely that is why you call it a mu'jiza. That is exactly why you call it a mu'jiza. You know, they write so amazing things, man. You know, in one place in Tafsir Uthmani, he writes that Jibreel had the ability to traverse the earth and cross through the planets and go up to the skies and return swiftly with revelation. But Jibreel didn't have the ability to place a soul in one fetus. Because this is the portfolio Allah gave him. And in that he is the deen. In that he is the chief. In that he reigns supreme. But where Allah has not given him any authority, he cannot place one soul in one fetus. Or he cannot remove one soul from one human. So that's the teachings of the Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرُ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلٍ. The sun is bright, but the brilliance of the sun is something Allah has put in it. Jibreel is amazing, but it is Allah who's made him amazing. That is why in Surah Al-Najm, Allah said, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Who taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? عَلَّمَهُ. He taught him, شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, the one with great powers. And then in the surah after that, in Surah Rahman, Allah said, الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah is the actual tutor. Jibreel was just a means. So what Allah had mentioned, and so this is mentioned in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only prophet who seen Jibreel in his original form. No other prophet. And that also twice. So no other Nabi had the opportunity and the privilege. This is mentioned by the Mufassirin. No other prophet. Anyway, my mind is running in a thousand ways. And this is Quran. This is Quran, my brother. I just hope and wish and pray in all my talks, wherever I travel and I speak, and I've been in my humble years of tafsir, I keep on trying and impressing upon people that, listen, this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You break in your head. One person was reading the newspaper, and one great scholar was there. So he asked him, what you reading? He said, I'm just trying to see if there's any lies, if there's any truth in this lies. I'm just trying to see if there's any truth in this, in these lies. Right? Ironically, regardless of how much news happens in the world, it just fits into the papers. How's that? How's that? Regardless of what happens, it's a good day on the political side, it's a good day in the currency, it's a good day in sports or bad day, it just fits in. Right? Perfect journalism. Welcome to the modern age. Printed media. Thank you. Hold it. Enjoy it. And people could read the paper cover to cover. They could be gullible to the next extent. I'm not saying don't read. You must keep yourself abreast. I read. We all read. We need to know what's happening. But you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. This is divine, my brother. This is absolute. وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. We sent it with truth and it arrived with truth. Somebody say, brother, you received the gift I gave. Yeah, but it wasn't in a good condition. Well, don't blame me. You must have a word with your brother-in-law. Yeah. Yeah. Your brother-in-law, man. You know, I'm just using brother-in-law. Your brother-in-law could be from many angles, so it's a loose term. So I cover my back in a good way here. Yeah, you know, your brother-in-law, you can never bring a parcel properly. No, the Quran, as we sent it from Jibreel, it arrived in the same. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه. Falsehood cannot approach it. The jinnat who used to eavesdrop in the heavens, muli'at harasan shadida. Suddenly they see there is heavy security. illa man istaraqa sam'a fa atba'ahu shihab. Whoever tries to eavesdrop and steal and extends his ear, there's a falling star that hits him. All these measures were instituted for the preservation of the final revelation. This is divine. This is the word of Allah. When you read in it with absolute certainty, my brother. So anyway, we said mu'jiza. I was hoping to really get into the second juz. So mu'jiza is that which defeats you. And that which Nabi had and Alama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has his whole kitab on the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mu'jizat of the various anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. So that is mu'jiza. Then you have karamat wa karamatul awliya'i haqqun. That is our belief that the supernatural performances of the pious people is a reality. And then you have istidraj. And istidraj is the clemency and the grace and the respite given to sinners where they also do something which is kharqul aada, supernatural. But this is backed by evil satanic powers. So it's not by noble powers. So the people in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam were confusing miracles with witchcraft. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent down two angels, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And here Allah is actually saying that these people did not follow the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَمَا سَحَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. So I'm not going into the backdrop of this ayah, but I just want to speak a little bit briefly about the aspect of sihr and witchcraft. So sihr is a reality. There's no doubt about it. Sihr was even done to our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the person who did it was Labid. It's in the hadith of Muslim Sharif. And hence Surah Falaq and Surah Nas was revealed, and it was a form of cure and protection. So anyway, these two angels came down, and ghaliban the location was in Iraq, and the names of these angels is Harut and Marut. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So these angels will convey to the people the art of witchcraft, but not to educate them to pass on this year, but to caution them. So this is how I used to give the simple analogy to my fellow students in class, is that you go to a particular country or a town, or our country really, because unfortunately, you know, theft and pickpocketing happens here. So you caution someone, you say, listen, be careful when you go to the mall, somebody can pickpocket you, this is how they can slit your garb, this is how they can steal your wallet. So you educating someone to alert him, it would be the height of misfortune that he starts practicing the same thing. He starts practicing the same thing. He says, oh, okay, shame, how do they do it? Oh, they do it like this. Okay, thank you. So I got to be really careful. Okay, does it happen daily? Okay, fine, fine. In which mall more common? Okay. So now you trying to teach him, to alert him, and lo and behold, he starts executing the same thing. But I want to mention something more significant in this discussion. So these angels came down, and they would, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, and they would not convey or impart or teach it to anyone, حَتَّى until يَقُولَ, they would say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً. This is a trial and it is a test. فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So don't practice this witchcraft. Don't do this here. But people would learn from them, because how the angels would show them, and the aim of the angels to show them was to differentiate that this is evil, and this is witchcraft, and what a Nabi exhibits and discharges and manifests and displays is a mu'jiza. And a mu'jiza, by the way, is not the object of prophethood, it's the proof of prophethood. So a Nabi doesn't come to display miracles. That's not the object. That's not why Allah sends a Nabi. But when a Nabi comes and he says that, listen, I'm the Prophet of Allah, people say, but what makes you unique? Innama anta bashar, you're a human. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to Fir'aun and he said, no, but you're a regular human. So Musa alayhi salam said, qala awalaw ji'tuka bi shay'in mubin? And what if I can display to you something miraculous? قَالَ فَأَتِ بِهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Okay, then display it if you can. فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ. He dropped his staff. فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُّبِينٌ. Suddenly it becomes a python. It becomes a snake. And they also, Allah, the scholars have explained, Allah at times had said ثُعْبَانٌ. Then Allah said حَيَّةٌ. And Allah Ta'ala said كَأَنَّهَا جَنٌ. Those are the three different words, and the wisdom of these three expressions have also been mentioned. So وَنَزَعَ يَدَهُ, and then he puts his hand in his armpit and he removes it. فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَى, it's bright, which Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, like the brilliance of the sun. Brilliance of the sun. للناظرين, for the viewers and the onlookers. So a miracle is the proof of prophethood, not the object of prophethood. So now the people would learn from these angels, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. I hope my listeners can listen to me, you know, with undivided attention. People would learn from these two angels that type of witchcraft, as a result of which they will separate between husband and wife. They will separate. Ma, that yufarriqoon, divide, separate. Bihi, through that, bain al-mar'i wa zawji, between a man and his partner. But, wama hum bidharreena bihi min ahadin illa bi-idhnillah. Witchcraft is not above Allah. Allah's power reigns absolute supreme. Everything is in the power of Allah. This is part of the system of cause and effect in this world. Remember, this is a mas'ala of aqeedah. خَلْقُ الشَّرِّ لَيْسَ بِشَرٍ وَلَكِنْ كَسْبُ الشَّرِّ شَرٌ. It's a bit delicate and intricate. The indulgence in sin is sinful. But the creation of those things that are forbidden is not evil, because this is a world of trial and error. Somebody says, if pork is forbidden, then why did Allah create it? Well, why do they give you multiple choices? If the teacher wants the right answer, why does he give you the wrong answer? Well, that's why it is choose the right answer. If he only gives you the correct answer, then why, how is there going to be the aspect of choose? You can only choose if there's right and wrong. That is the world, that there's going to be evil and wrong. That's going to be the forces of good and evil are going to happen. Alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. So this is a force that is in the earth, and it does happen, and it does take place. But Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That they cannot harm anyone through it, but through the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Mujadala, in the 28th juz, Allah says, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. These conspiracies is إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's from the devil. لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to bring grief to the believers. وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But they cannot cause any harm to anyone but through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I'm saying is that in the Quran and Sunnah, we've been taught to read Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, and that is the treatment that Allah gave to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Labid had done this, and during those days the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat some of his questions. He would eat, and then he would ask if he had eaten, etc. And then these verses were revealed, and then he recited it, and then as he recited, and then he had sent the Sahaba to untie the hair on which knots were made. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of those who tie knots. Either nafathat could be females here, or nufus nafathat, because nafs in Arabic is also muannath sima'i. And as each knot was untied, كَأَنَّمَا نُشِثَ مِنْ عِقَالِ, Nabi Sassam felt relieved and unshackled. And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, and so what would you do with the person who has inflicted this on you? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my Allah has cured me and I have nothing to do with him. So the point I want to say here is, I don't want to go into too much detail, is that everything is in the power of Allah. It is wrong for us to put our reliance in this, or assume that this is above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's power is absolute, Allah's might is absolute, and that reigns supreme. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those who unfortunately have become victims of this in any way or situation. May Allah grant ease and afiyah to everyone, inshaAllah. The opening verses of the second juz deals with the aspect of tahweel qibla. Tahweel qibla. So, what is tahweel qibla? Tahweel qibla means the turning of the qibla from Makkah Mukarrama to Baytul Maqdis. So, the original Kaaba for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was al-Kaaba al-Musharrafa. That is the direction of Makkah. And the scholars tell us that we have been told to face that direction. So, Allah forbid, even if the Kaaba were to be demolished, as the hadith says, prior to Qiyamah, a person by the name of Dhus-Sawiqatayn will come, and brick by brick he will demolish the Kaaba, we will still face the same direction. The reason why I'm saying this is, sometimes people argue that you also worship in stone. We're not worshiping stone. We worship in the command of Allah. It is Allah who has instructed us to face that direction. So even if, Allah forbid that the Kaaba was not there, we still face that direction, because that is the command of Allah. So Allah had made the Kaaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Kaaba al-Musharrafah. And then for 16 months, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to face Baytul Maqdis. Now, there are many wisdoms written in this year, in the Hawasha, in the Hashia, etc. The Mufassirin have written, the Yahud used to face there. So this was also a way to win their confidence, amongst other hikam and amongst other wisdoms. But look at this year. Allah had already told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the veracity of the message of the Quran. Look at the truthful nature. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have told you to face Baytul Maqdis. And Allah told him, as soon as we've informed you, the foolish people are going to have an issue with this. They're going to have a gripe with this. One would say, these are Arabs, they understand the Quran, they could just say, okay, let's just seal our lips, the Quran has already preempted it that we're going to reject and we're going to oppose it, so let's be silent. The Quran said, the fools will blurt, and aptly and precisely as the Quran prophesies, despite them knowing Arabic, they would blurt and they would object and become victims of the precise prophecy that the fools will have an objection with it. سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَا, soon the foolish people will say, مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. So what turned him away from the direction that he was facing? And Allah says, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. To Allah belongs the east and the west. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. He's the Lord of the east and the west. رَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. He's the Lord of all directions. So, as a believer, my duty is to oblige. If Allah says, face this way, I face. During Ramadan, I always say, to eat is a sin. And on the day of Eid, not to eat is a sin. So, on the day of Eid, not to eat, is a sin. لا تصوموا في هذه الأيام فإنها أيام أكل وشرب وبعال. Allah has instructed us. So a believer is one who obliges. So if Allah says face Baytul Maqdis, face Baytul Maqdis. If Allah says face the Kaaba, you face the Kaaba. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and just look at the rank of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obliged. And he faced Baytul Maqdis. And he diligently complied. And for 16 months he faced. But as a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, and as a resident of Makkah Mukarrama, and the Kaaba in front of him, his inner desire, which was the original law, and this is all mentioned by the Mufassirin, his heart would incline towards the Kaaba. His heart would incline. So he obliged and he obeyed, but his heart would incline. So he would glance to the heavens. He would glance to the heavens in anticipation of revelation towards the Kaaba. And just see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this, right? وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. And this is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran. And we did not make the Qibla on which you were momentarily for 16 months, according to one tafsir. And that is facing the Baytul Maqdis, إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ, but so that we can reveal to others. عِلْمُ ذُهُورٍ. عِلْمُ ذُهُورٍ. That's what the scholars say. إلا لنعلم, Allah knows everything. إلا لنعلم, so that we may know, meaning we could reveal to others, and others could realize and understand. من يتبع الرسول, who follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ممن ينقلب على عقبيه, compared to the one who turns on his heels and objects and frowns and opposes. وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله. And surely the diversion from Mecca to Baytul Maqdis was challenging, was not easy. And Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani writes, imtihan is something which is difficult. وإن كانت لكبيرة لَثَقِيلَ. It was difficult, was challenging. Because you're living in Mecca, you're an Arab, you're part of the Abrahamic faith, the Kaaba is in front of you, and you are being told that is a challenge. But that's imtihan, that's ikhtibar, that is life. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. You know, the youngster got married and he said, yeah, but I'm not happy. So the father is like, listen to him, who said we are happy? Huh? Listen to this, Walnakara, I'm flying to Vancouver 2 weeks ago. So I land in Toronto, I sleep over the night, and I hop onto the flight the next day, and I'm flying. So I'm speaking to a young gentleman sitting next to me. He's going there to participate in a marathon. So we get chatting. It's a long 5-hour flight, this domestic flight. I asked him, you know, just started speaking. He introduces himself, newly single. I'm like, my word, man. I know newly wed. What's this, my brother? Newly single. I'm like, unpack for me, brother. Unpack. Really, this was his words, newly single. So I just like, there was a murmur. I paused. I said, and he seen my frown, and I was startled, and I was a bit caught off guard. So I'm like, brother, what's this all about? He said, I just broke up with my girlfriend. So I said, okay. And any particular reason? He was quite relaxed with me. I was relaxed with him. So we were chatting, and it was a nice time. And we got, you know, then it opened up, and I told him the purpose of my travel and Islam, etc. I invited him to the conference and whatever. So he says, no, after 2 years, I didn't get to know her so well, you know. So I said, do you know, in our faith, we get married without dating and courting once. Without dating and courting once. And you telling me after 2 years I didn't know her. But by the way, my friend, I said, even if you married 22 years, you still won't know her. And she won't know you. There's a curveball. You might be playing on that field, and that crease is good, and it's a bowling, it's a batting wicket, or it's a bowling and stuff. And next best thing, there's a googly or a doosra, and then you know what? It's a middle stump. So you never master each other. Anyway, listen to this, my brother. That is exams. That is life. وَإِنْكَانَتْ لَكَبِيرًا. It's challenging, but Allama Shabir Ahmed, but then that's his imtihan. And then now look at this here, man. Look at the rank and the status of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you read this, you just cry and you just tear to understand the lofty station. I wish you could appreciate this in Arabic. Your hearts would burst. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So qad, when it comes on mudari, if it's not used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it creates taqleel. That means occasionally, sometimes. But when qad is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it comes with yaqeen and certainty. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know with certainty. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Listen to this, young man. Surely, certainly, we were observing you rotating your blessed face to the heavens. فَ. The Ahlul Lughah have written so much under this فَ. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ. Have it, my Nabi. It's done. We've honored your request. We turning you to the Qibla that you want. Abu Talib said, مَا أَرَى رَبَّكَ إِلَّا يُسَارِعُ فِي هَوَاكَ. I see your Lord always delivers on your aspirations, O my nephew. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his uncle, O my uncle, you obey my Lord and he will deliver on your aspirations as well. Allama Munawi writes under this year, and I read it in one of the writings of Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah under this ayah. So this is what I was telling you, that the scholars make these multiple amazing deductions. So here Allah is speaking of tahweel al-qibla, face the qibla, and then Allah says, we're observing you rotating your gaze, and from that he makes the subtle deduction that the Quran has mentioned practically every organ and limb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just look at the beauty, man. It's like, Ya Rab. So, quickly, because I know now I'm really gone over. Well, I was told 10:15 in case the listeners, my wife is going to tell me, but wasn't it 10 o'clock? So, you told me 10:15, right? Right. Okay, so I'm within my time limit. I'm notorious for overstepping my time. So, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ. Quickly, وَجْهِكْ. We observed. Can you imagine our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face and his blessed gaze? Huh? Somebody passed by one of the Sahaba and he said, "Tuba lihatain al-ainain, al-latain, tuba lihatain al-ainain. Blessed are these eyes, ra'ata Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which were blessed with the countenance and the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So quickly, Yazid Rama sitting here, you can appreciate the verse. Those that are listening, Allama Munawi's tahqiq on this here, speaking of tahweel al-qibla, but he says, we seen your face. So Allah spoke about the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah said, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not stretch your eye. And really, that is to convey to us, to the glitter and the glamour which we've given them, لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ, to test them. What is رَبِّكَ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. The sustenance of your Lord is wholesome and is everlasting. So that's the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke in the Quran, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَى عُنُقِكَ. Do not tie your hands to your neck. So the blessed neck of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got mentioned in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. That the Quran came down on the blessed chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. On the blessed heart, on the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah said, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. We've removed from you the burden, الَّذِي which أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, which broke your back. So ظهرك, the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Then Allah said, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. We're watching you when you stand in. So the posture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got mentioned in the Quran. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. You're turning amongst those that are prostrating. So the sajda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got mentioned. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَإِدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ. The concluding verses there of that surah, Allah says that when you stand in, when you prostrate in, every posture of yours is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the lofty rank, this was the status of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect us with the Quran. And after that 16 months, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was turned towards to the Qibla that he desired and he anticipated. And then Allah said, whether you are in Masjid-e-Haram, or even if you're in Baytul Maqdis, or you are in Hadar or Safar. And that's how the scholars explain the takrar of the ayat. Because in multiple verses, Allah says, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقْ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. In all these verses, Allah says, face. So the takrar of these ayat are interpreted by the scholars, meaning whether you're in Hadar, or you're in Safar, you're in Makkah, or you're in Baytul Maqdis, face the Kaaba and the Qibla. This is indeed the beauty of our deen. Our deen is complete and it is wholesome. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from Ahlul Qur'an. Allahumma ja'alna min Ahlil Qur'an alladhina hum ahluka wa khassatuka bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Mawlana Suleiman Mullah Sahib, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for relating to us the message of the Quran Kareem, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, dear listeners, one of the underlying messages of Mawlana Suleiman Mullah Sahib was acquire ilm and knowledge, inshallah, no matter how old we are, learn the Quran Kareem. And the main purpose of acquiring knowledge is to bring us closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not simply for the gratification of the mind or the senses. It is, you know, to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of the importance of knowledge, Allah commanded His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek more of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire all of us. Mawlana Sahib, jazakum Allah khair al-jaza. Much, much appreciated. I've thoroughly enjoyed the lesson. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant all of the best, inshallah. Health, barakah, da'afiyat, goodness in this world and in the akhirah. Mawlana, jazakum Allah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. May Allah accept from all, inshallah. And we hope that the listeners find it beneficial. And inshallah, we will all embark on this journey of trying to understand the message of the Quran. As long as we die trying to understand the Quran, inshallah, hopefully this will earn us goodness in both the worlds, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah.